Shas Ba'ot, which is that took place, you know, before I was born, and you know, we were all, you know, kind of, you know, grew up, you know, kind of part of the fabric of our reality that there is a Medinas Yisrael. But Yom Yerushalayim, I actually do remember, and the events of and the aftermath of kind of Sheshet Hayamim. And especially the magical moment when Yerushalayim came back under the sovereignty of Klal Yisrael, and really the, you know, the optimism and the pride that engendered in world Jewry at the time, and it was a very transformative experience, you know, in all ways. So I thought that it would be appropriate just to speak very briefly, at least, about, you know, Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, another aspect, but very, very briefly. I'm sort of not going to give the full or even close to the presentation, just a couple of minutes. So it's just very interesting to note that, you know, this time of year is really the focal point, really, of our celebration of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And I don't think it's a coincidence either that all this takes place during this time period. The period between Pesach and Shavuos is really the period in which Klal Yisrael, you know, Hayom Hazeh Ni'eis Ha'am, is born, you know, in different aspects. Of course, first with Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then, of course, at Maimed Har Sinai through Matan Torah, on Chag HaShavuos. And I've spoken in the past about the fact that the Sphira period, which is presented, you know, many psukim in the Torah, you know, in Parshas Emor, in a way that, you know, is, you know, certainly intriguing. The Korban Shnei Alechem and the Korban HaOmer that precedes it, you know, are part of the of that Parsha. In a way that defies the other treatments of the other Moadim, and surely again that, you know, needs clarification. It's noteworthy then that the Mishnah says in Masechet Kalim that when it wants to characterize the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, it says Mishnah and Kalim Perek Aleph says that Eser Kedusha Sein Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol Ha'arvatzos Vameh Hi Kedushasa Shemeviyam Mimenu HaOmer HaBikurin Ushtei Alechem Masha'im Neviyam Mikol Ha'arvatzos. So the this is a famous Mishnah. Mishnah says that there are 10 levels of Kedusha, and the last of them, you know, it starts from the, you know, Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Makom of the Arum. And then you have these concentric circles, the last of which is Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol Ha'arvatzos. But it's fascinating that the Mishnah suggests that Eretz Yisrael's Kedusha is expressed through Bikurin, Omer, I'm sorry, Omer, Bikurin, and Shnei Halechem. And of course, this is surprising on two levels. Number one, it's surprising because, again, we spent a little bit of time in the beginning of Gittin, talking about, you know, Dinei Eretz Yisrael a little bit, and we're all familiar with the Mishnah and Kiddushin and the concept of Mitzvos HaTluyos Ba'aretz, Mitzvos that are connected to the Karka of Eretz Yisrael, Truvos and Maestros, and the last year, of course, was the Shemitah year, etc. So we're all familiar with that, and then this year we talked about other Mitzvos that are connected, you know, to Eretz Yisrael in a, you know, less obvious way, but maybe in a more profound way. Kinshah Chodesh, Ma Rufa, and Smicha, and maybe certain institutions like Nebuah, and, you know, Parhal and Dabar Shol Tzibur, and other such things. But it's very remarkable that the Mishnah in Kalim, you know, zeroes in not on Trumas and Maestros and Challah and Shemitah, that could have been one possibility. Also not on, you know, Kiddush HaKodesh and Smicha and Negla Rufa. That would have been another possibility because it would have highlighted, you know, something completely different. Instead, it's curious that it zeroes in on things that have to do with the karka and with tzibuas haaretz, omer, shtealachem, and bikurim. What about why these three, you know, specifically? And bikurim, of course, is you know, in one respect, the most intriguing. The legon is well known, omitted or deleted bikurim from the girsa in the Mishnah, not on the basis of an hasfayad, but just on the basis of sevara. The idea being that bikurim is part of mitzvot nias baretz. You know, it belongs with trumos and maestros and shmita, you know, and so on. And therefore, you know, it doesn't make sense that it should be included. The Gra was, you know, somebody of very strong convictions, so he didn't need a manuscript. You know, when he felt something was a mistake, you know, he was very bold about it. And conceptually, he felt this just couldn't be. Bikurim couldn't be, you know, together with Shtei Lechem and Omer. You know, Omer and Shtei Lechem, at least we're not talking about mitzvahs of Kliyos Baharetz in a more, you know, narrow, you know, sense of the word. We'll get to what they are in just a second. And therefore, he took out Bikurim. But, you know, the fact is that the Rambam quotes it, and, you know, it's in the Mishnah, but there is no other Sabyat as far as we know. So, on the one hand, you have the Gra, you know, who was so disturbed by this inclusion that he, you know, did this bold, you know, deletion. You know, on the other hand, it, you know, makes it even more important, you know, to figure out what Bikurim, you know, is doing there. So, some people have suggested, it's a popular suggestion, that you know, maybe Bikurim needs to be reevaluated, and you know, Bikurim isn't really mitzvah of Kliyos Baharetz at all. And indeed, if you look at Tosis in Bava Basra, and Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, there seem to be 2 days in Tosis on this question. The Gemara in Chulin and the Gemara in Bava Basra both quote a pasuk, Adama Limute Chutz Laretz, to explain why you don't bring Bikurim outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Balei Tosis asked the question, you know, why do you need a pasuk to teach you that Bikurim is limited to Eretz Yisrael? Bikurim is mitzvah of Kliyos Baharetz, I mean, obviously. For the same reason that Trumas and Maisros and Maisros Sheni, you know, are in Eretz Yisrael without a special pasuk or Zeretz HaKasuk. So why do you need a special limud when it comes to Bikurim? So Balei Tosis give two answers. One answer they give is, in Akhanami you're right, but people could have been misled, because the pasuk that speaks about Bikurim also speaks about the Los of Hashel, you know, Basa B'chala. And, you know, you might have thought that just like, that's a Chovas Agavra, this is a Chovas Agavra, Kamash Mitzvah. So the other day in Tosis actually suggests that Bikurim is not a typical Mitzvah of Kliyos Baharetz. But it really is a Chovas HaGavra. Of course, it's Tzvuas Eretz Yisrael. And Tosis connects it to the fact that unlike, let's say, Trumos and Maestros, and Trumos Maeser, and Maeser, and Maeser Sheni, where there's some aspect, you know, in Chala, where there's some aspect of Tebel, until you're Matir, you know, by being Mafrish, you know, and so on. When it comes to Bikurim, there's no equivalent, there's no din of tab. It's just a chovas, havas, Bikurim. And therefore, Tosa says, it isn't really mitzvah Kliyos Baharetz, you know, at all. This is, you know, a very fascinating shita, and definitely would help explain the Mishnah and Caleb. There's something intriguing to think about. Again, I'm just throwing out a couple of points, and I'm really going to finish in a minute. But just it's something to think about is that Bikurim is a truma. Meaning, if you look at the sugyas, the Mishnayas, and the, even just the Mishnayas alone, in Bikurim, you know, in Chala, and of course many sugyas, Bikurim has a shame truma. And not just, you know, in terms of its designation, that alone would have been very intriguing, but in terms of some halachos, like there are discussions about whether it's considered to be, you know, one shame in some aspects with regard to Tzirut L'Shiur, you know, and other such things. So it's fascinating that, you know, to think that Bikurim, you know, has a shame truma and that it's substantive, even as it's not really Mitzvah Kliyos Baharetz. Or maybe there are two aspects, you know, Bikurim. Anyways, that's something to think about. The Rav used to suggest that the Mishnah in Kalim in general is really a Mishnah about not so much, you know, Kedushas Haaretz is the last of the concentric circles. But really the, you know, focal point of the Mishnah in Kalim is really Kedushas HaMikdash and Kedushas Yerushalayim. Again, the Esrei Kedushas begin, you know, with, you know, the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Mokom HaAharon, you know, Lifnayim and Lifnim, and all of that. And then it branches out and includes Eretz Yisrael. In that respect, the Eretz Yisrael part is kind of like, you know, the radiated, the, you know, the most outer point of the radiated Kedusha of the Mikdash, you know, and Yerushalayim, etc. And for that reason, Omer and Shtelechem are Karbonos. We'll get that in just a second. And, you know, therefore they belong on the list. They're the only two Karbonos that have to be brought from Tehuas to Israel. But Bikurim also has an aspect of Mikdash, right? It's brought to Mikdash. It has a, you know, Mizbeach Beis HaMikdash element. It has a Yerushalayim element to it. There's a bit of Havas Makom, you know, for Bikurim, like there is for Ma'aser Sheni. And as such, you know, since it's, you know, it almost has, you know, all three together. Mizbeach, you know, Mikdash, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael. And maybe for that reason, Bikurim is included. I thought, however, in addition to those points, that there may be another issue to it. And that is connected to what I began with. And that is the seemingly not explicit, but intriguing connection between Eretz Yisrael and its aspects of its Kedusha and the time period of, you know, between Pesach, culminating with Shavuos. And as we know, again, the Rayas are very important here. I'm not, you know, going to go into it right now, but as we know, the Torah in Parshas Pinchas, you know, characterizes Shavuos as Yom HaBikurim. There's a debate among the Mefarshim there, which has, you know, early roots in the Midrash HaLacha, and if you look also at the Mefarshim in, you know, the other Parsha of Bikurim, Mishpatim, whether you have Bikurim, whether characterizing Shavuos as Yom HaBikurim, is a reference to the Korban Shniyah Lechem, which is, you know, the beginning of the Tzvuah that's brought from Menachos, or whether it really means, because the most appropriate beginning time to bring Bikurim is on Chag HaShavuos. If you look at Rashi, you know, in Pinchas, he actually thinks about Shteilechem. If you look at Rashi in Mishpatim, you know, he connects them both. If you look at the Mefarshim, there's a very lively discussion of what Yom HaBikurim means in the context of Shavuos. I would suggest that, you know, both elements are true. The fact that, and significant, the fact that Bikurim is often a reference to the Korban Shteilechem itself is surely not a coincidence. It implies, you know, that there is a link between those concepts, even if the narrower meaning in this context is only Korban Shteilechem. But certainly, if it's a reference to the preferable, you know, beginning point of bringing Bikurim, so characterizing the whole holiday of Shavuos, Yom Matan Torah Seinu, not explicitly in Torah Shavitzah, but what we know it to be, the connection between Bikurim and Shavuos is certainly intriguing. When I spoke about a little bit about Surya and Yom HaTzmaut, I made reference to, again, I didn't get a chance to develop that at all fully either, but I made reference to my strong conviction that the mitzvah Bikurim itself is kind of like the mitzvah of Shevach Eretz Yisrael. Instead of thinking that, you know, there's a mitzvah Bikurim, you know, and, which some people do, there's a mitzvah Bikurim, and, you know, it's these particular peros, which also are most mishubach in Eretz Yisrael. I think that there's, you know, if you read the Psukim, and there are other indications, that it's much more than that. Meaning, Bikurim is the Hakaras HaTov, you know, Shevach, you know, the celebration of Eretz Yisrael. It's up. So to call Chag HaShavuos Yom HaBikurim, especially with the ambiguity that it, you know, also refers to the Kibbutz and, you know, an aspect of it to the Korban She'alachem, you know, that becomes, you know, very, very significant. Either way, you know, whatever you want to say about the designation, the fact is that Bikurim has a special link to Chag HaShavuos. And of course we know that the other two, the Korban Omer and the Korban She'alachem, they are the only Korbanos, that's the Mishnah in Menachos, that, you know, any Korban can be brought, including Menachos, from Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz. The Korban Omer and the Korban She'alachem, you know, they uniquely have to be brought, you know, from Eretz Yisrael. And of course that's the reference that the Mishnah in Kalim is making. It's Bikurim, but it's Omer, Bikurim, and Shnei Halachim. And I think that the idea, you know, whether it's only Mitzvah Satlius Ba'aretz, Bikurim, even if it is only Mitzvah Satlius Ba'aretz, it's still the Mitzvah Satlius Ba'aretz which somehow is connected to the holiday of Shavuos, and which shares that designation with its name, and is somehow connected, you know, to some aspect of the Korban She'alachem. The idea that only the Omer, only the She'alachem have to come from Eretz Yisrael is, of course, a very fascinating fact also that, you know, seems to be filled with important implications. So, for example, you know, it's noteworthy that in Parshas Emor, as I mentioned before, most korbanos are omitted. There's a general reference to it being the Moedim being a time of korbanos. The only korbanos that are explicitly accentuated are the Omer and the Shnei Halachem in that lengthy section in which they are combined, you know, or bridged by the Sefiras HaOmer. The Ramban, in his Perush Al HaTorah, you know, was troubled by this. He's using the general why the no korbanos in Parshas Emor. You know, so his answer to that is, you know, less people think, you know, that less people not be aware that, you know, there's a difference between, you know, the Moedim in the Midbar and the Moedim in Eretz Yisrael. That's a kind of a technical answer. And then it says, but then why is there Omer and Shnei Halachem? So, oh, because everybody knows when it comes to Omer and Shnei Halachem, everybody is aware that they need to come dafka from Eretz Yisrael. So I think if you, you know, take a step back, the Ramban is dealing with the problem, but he's dealing with it in a very kind of technical way. The bigger, you know, reality that he's pointing to is that the Shnei Halachem and the Omer, these are karbanos that appear and are very prominent in Parshas Emor, one associated with the aftermath of Pesach, of Chag HaPatzos, and the other identified fully, and, you know, as the exclusive identification in many respects, of what Chag HaShavuos, you know, is all about. And the fact that they have to come dafka from Eretz Yisrael, and they are, you know, the poles, if you will, that connect Pesach to Shavuos, is surely significant. In other words, the ha'aros of the Ramban, not necessarily the explanations of the Ramban. So let me just make one final point, because there's so much more to say, but, and that is, if you look very carefully, and the Ramban in his Perush Al HaTorah makes this point as well, but if you look at the Mishnah and the Gemaras in Masechet Menachos, you know, two other things emerge. One, factual things emerge. And that is, when it comes to the Omer, there's a machlokes, according to the Gemara, whether or not the Omer must come from Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah says that the Omer and Shnei Halachem have to come from Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah in Menachos, the Mishnah in Kalim. Yet the Gemara in Menachos suggests that there is a daya that the Korban Omer could come from Chutz La'aretz. However, when it comes to the Shnei Halachem, Kula Alma, even whoever thinks that Omer can be brought from Chutz La'aretz agrees that the Korban Shnei Halachem can only be brought from Eretz Yisrael. And that is in itself very fascinating. The Ramban notes this in his Perush al Torah, he says, why is it that the, you know, not only are the Omer Shelechem mentioned in Emor, but there seems to be a stronger reference to the Eretz Yisrael factor when it comes to Shelechem over that of Omer. So the Rabban says, because even though we paskin, I mean, pretty much what he says, even though we paskin that both Omer and Shelechem have to come from Eretz Yisrael, right, the Eretz Yisrael factor is more unequivocal when it comes to Shelechem than Omer. Now that's fascinating because, again, if Lemaisa, we paskin in both cases that they have to come from Eretz Yisrael, like, you know, why, you know, would there be significance to the fact that there's a Dea, you know, that is, you know, that disputes? So obviously what Ramban is trying to say is, instead of looking at the machlokes, you know, as an all or nothing machlokes, like there's a mandamar holds that Omer, you know, doesn't require a tumas Eretz Yisrael, and we paskin that, you know, that it does require a tumas Eretz Yisrael, i.e., in other words, we paskin that Omer and Shtelechem are exactly the same. That is a fundamental argument about Omer, and maybe its broad, you know, parallel relationship with Shtelechem, you know, but lahalacha, we're all in on the equation between Omer, you know, and Shtelechem. Obviously, what Ramban is trying to indicate is that that's not exactly the case. But that, you know, we talk about echoes, right? The fact that there is a difference of opinion when it comes to Omer, as opposed to Shtelechem, you know, remains significant in terms of the role of Eretz Yisrael for in these two proponents. And the truth is, that this is like a fascinating, you know, theme to pursue. We just don't have time to do it right now. But if you look at other Gemaras in the Nachos, and then you start looking at the Nechas Kinoch and all sorts of other things, there are further indications that even though the Halakha Tvuas Eretz Yisrael is a requirement for both Omer and Shtelechem, that the role of Eretz Yisrael really is different from one, you know, to the other. And that when it comes, I'll just tell you what I think the conclusion is, I really shouldn't, but you know, but without the evidence. But when it comes to the Omer, everything is about the Omer is a matir, the Omer is a, you know, korban of seorim, and even the Eretz Yisrael factor is more, you know, like an it can't come from Chutz La'aretz, you know, than anything else. And when it comes to Shtelechem, it's more like the mechayim of Shtelechem is that it be brought, you know, it's not a matir. If anything, it's the opposite. Not bringing, you know, mitzvua, you know, chadasha before the Shtelechem, chitin, for menachos, not because you need a matir, but because if you do that, you're going to disrupt the kiyuv, the mitzvah, the chiyuv, you know, that the Shtelechem be the first. The mechayim is that it should be the first, not that it needs to be matir, you know, the rest of the chadash. And that in itself is parallel to this idea, I believe, that the role of Eretz Yisrael isn't just kind of to exclude Chutz La'aretz, but the role of Eretz Yisrael is part of, I'll call it, the idealism or the maximalism, you know, that is reflected and represented by Shavuos. And I think the many other differences between Omer and Korban Shtelechem, which are so parallel in one respect that accentuates their differences at the very same time, reflect this very same pattern as well. So to conclude, I think the idea is as follows. When it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim and the beginnings of the history of Klal Yisrael, again, the focus was on Yetzias Mitzrayim, on leaving Mitzrayim, on extricating themselves from the, you know, Memtes, you know, Sharei Tuma, from physical slavery, a lot of the things that we've had the opportunity to speak about other times, some things that are very well known, negating, you know, Avdus, you know, Paro and Avdus Mitzrayim, etc. As far as that is concerned, the Korban Omer, a Seorim Korban, you know, the Korban Omer, of course, should come from Eretz Yisrael, but not so much because it needs to be from Eretz Yisrael as much as to accomplish its matir purposes, it can't be, you know, from Chutz La'aretz. But the process that is described in Emor through Sfiras HaOmer, which we're in the middle of right now, of, you know, day in, day out, and also weekly, you know, a continuous progression of Avodas Hashem, of making ourselves, you know, as individuals and as a nation, worthy of that greatest moment in human history, the moment of Gilui Shechina and Maim Har Sinai, Matan Torah. That process, you know, is the bridge between the Omer and the Shtealech, between Pesach and Shavuos, between an Iser Chametz, you know, even Big Bulim, you know, and the Heter Chametz, you know, even, you know, B'mikdash, you know, under the rubric of, you know, somebody who's Mekabel Omah HaShemayim. And consequently, the role of Eretz Yisrael, or looking towards Eretz Yisrael, in the sense of, you know, again, that they're still in the Midbar, in Sinai. But the idea that, you know, Eretz Yisrael is an impending, you know, reality at this point, and gets sidetracked for other reasons. But at least in theory, that becomes very critical. Therefore, the maximalist, idealist expression of Eretz Yisrael in the Korban HaOmer, and not as a matir, but as a kiyum, that's what expresses itself at that point. So, and, you know, I always thought it was very interesting in a way. You know, you have, this is, you know, not, I don't take it so literally, but, you know, in the in the modern iteration of our, you know, celebrations, you know, you have in this very same tekufa, you know, from Pesach, you know, to Shavuos, and during the process of Sfiras HaOmer, you know, you have a Yom HaAtzmaut, and then you have, you know, Yom Yerushalayim. And, you know, it's obviously this, you know, it's hard to know what to make of all that, and that's why I, you know, said don't take me so literally. But I just think it's fascinating that in very many in many respects, even the timing of it really reflects almost the exact, you know, same kind of process. And, you know, what happened in 1948 and the birth of the state, and that was certainly the prerequisite. You know, and without that, that was the linchpin for anything that, that happened afterwards. That was the Yetzias Mitzrayim, in every respect. And what happened in 1967, the return to Yerushalayim, and Dafka to Yerushalayim, and to, you know, Hakotel Biyadenu, our Abayit Biyadenu, to the Makom HaMikdash. You know, towards the end, almost, you know, days before, you know, Chag HaShavuos, in some respect, is very parallel to, you know, to that next step, you know, that goes from, you know, attaining sovereignty to then enjoying, you know, the full spiritual benefits of the potential, you know, that adheres, you know, in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Esrei Kedusha. So even though we're not going to be together, you know, most of us, Friday celebrating, it's, I think, very important to, you know, to acknowledge, you know, the miracles that took place and the spiritual opportunity, and to try to also find ways to, you know, to channel and harness, you know, those themes. But in a bigger idea, you know, the entire period, really, from Pesach to Shavuos is really the period of Esrei Kedushos. It's really the period of Eretz Yisrael, Mekudesh HaSim, Kol HaRatzos, Shem Mimenu, Leviim, Omer, Bikurim, and Shtealecha. Each in its own singular way, you know, represents this idea. That's what I want to briefly say. And now I understand that there are questions that were